Let's open our Bibles together this morning to Psalm 122, and our text will be this psalm. And note with me the title again of the psalm. It's a Song of Degrees of David. And you remember that the Songs of Degrees begin with Psalm 120. They go through Psalm 134. And the word degrees would be better if it were to read ascent. And so these are the psalms that they would sing as they would ascend up to the hill, Mount Zion, to the tabernacle. They would come three times a year, all the people throughout Israel. They'd come for the Feast of the Tabernacles, they'd come for the Feast of the First Fruits, and they'd come for the Passover. They would journey from all of their towns. They'd come up, they'd ascend to Jerusalem. These would be the psalms that would be on their hearts. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. May God not only bless these words to our hearts this morning, but with great thankfulness to God, we can say that these words that we just read express the work of God in our hearts and how good it is that we can not just read these words, but that we find them echoing in our heart. Psalm 122 is the third of the Psalms of Ascent that I was just speaking about. It begins with Psalm 120, which if you glance over it, you'll see that the pilgrim, whether he was in the highlands of Ephraim, or if he lived along the seacoast of Zebulun, or if he was in the extreme north of Dan, or if he was in the south with Simeon, that as the pilgrim would start out in Psalm 120, he would start out from a life of trouble, a life especially of sinful tongues and lying lips around him, a life of confusion. And he would be drawn then out of that struggle in his own village and home to come to the house of God to seek peace. Then in Psalm 121, the progression is that the pilgrim, as he is traveling, lifts up his eyes to the hills. You remember Psalm 121. And he sees from whence cometh his help. That as he is journeying, it was often an arduous, long journey with children. It was a dangerous journey. There would be robbers. That he would see that it was the Lord who watched over him, who never slumbered and never slept, and would keep him as he would leave his home and would bring him back again. But now in Psalm 122, the progression is that the spiritual pilgrim has arrived at the place that his heart desired. He has arrived in Jerusalem. He has come to Jerusalem because of the tabernacle, the house of God within Jerusalem. He's actually walking through the gates of Jerusalem. He's standing on the premise of the tabernacle and of the temple. Perhaps he's a man, married man, and he has a little 3-year-old boy in his hand. And he has a 10-year-old daughter out in front of him, finding her friends that she hasn't seen for a long time, and a teenager, and perhaps his wife carries one in her arms. And he is very, the whole family, as they enter into Jerusalem to worship, is very emotional, and they are very personal. As they've made the last part of the journey, they've met others who have said, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." And he said, I was glad to hear people say that to me, fellow believers. And now I'm in this place of worship of God, because this place where he has come to expressed what lived in his heart. God, through COVID-19, has shown what lives in our hearts. He's shown that, in a sense, to all men. He's exposed the hearts of all men. But he has exposed to us also, by the wonder of his grace, his own work. It is the evidence of God's grace that we want to go back to church, and want to go back to church for the right reason: to worship God. There would be many who would say to us, "Well, you're happy today because you are creatures of habit. You're used to doing this, and you got out of your regular routine, and you didn't feel comfortable." And we respond to that: we are not creatures of habit when we come to church. We understand that it is easy to become a rote Christian. It is easy for all of us to fall into those lock steps of religion and not do it from the heart. But we respond, that's not why we're here. We are not creatures of habit. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new." We want to be here because God, the life of God, is in our souls. And therefore, we feed upon his word, especially in the assembly of the saints. We joy in singing his praises in the assembly of the saints. And because God is in our souls, the life of Christ is in our souls, we long for the fellowship of the people of God. Psalm 122, then, is not simply about coming to a place after a long absence. It's about coming to worship. Psalm 122 must not be read as if it's the experience back then of what would now be the experience of a South Dakota boy in the Badlands who's finally come for the first time to New York City and is standing in Times Square. And he's awed. But Psalm 122 is the child of God coming to worship in the place where God does reveal himself in a special way through means of grace, but coming with the right heart. Coming to church is not simply coming to the right place. It is not coming at the right time. It is not coming with the right posture. It's not coming with the right dress. We can come. We can have the right everything, the right wife, the right job, the right friends. We're in the right place. We have the right appearance. But that's not worship. Worship is the right attitude. It's the right heart. We can be in the right place and not worship. It takes the right heart. And so you see in the psalm, I want to point out to you this morning really just three words in the psalm where you see the three characteristics of a renewed right heart worshiper. Glad, verse 1, I was glad. Thankful, verse 4, we come up to the testimony of Israel to give thanks. And then number 3, peace. Not only do we pray when we understand what worship is, we pray for the peace of the church. But we come, the point is, we must come to church in peace. Peace with God in our hearts, yes. Sometimes that's not the case, and so we come to find that peace. But the point of the psalm is, you and I must come to church in peace with each other. So I call your attention, could have called the sermon perhaps better, the attitude of the true worshiper. But the theme that we have is, let us go up to God's own house. Let's see that this is to be done in gladness, with thanksgiving, and in peace. So gladness in worship is very apparent in the psalm. When we read the psalm, gladness and happiness was vibrating through the whole psalm. It was the dominant tone of the psalm. And it's the third word, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. In other words, his spiritual heart, there was a spike in his heart. His spiritual blood pressure went up. It didn't drop down, let us go to church. It didn't go down, it spiked up. And that word is a word of joy. I was glad. There's enthusiasm that he has, that we have in coming to church. It's not drudgery. Our great God is not served in drudgery. It's not the do we have to attitude, but I was glad. The first church that I served in our denomination, on the front of their bulletin, and I saw it every Sunday, were the words of Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The word glad, as I said, means joy, lifted heart, exuberance, ecstatic. It refers to a satisfaction within the heart. And as I said, when it was spoken to this psalmist, it did not produce no response. It was not something negative in him, but it produced in him an excitement. And the excitement, as I was explaining, continued in verse 2. Our feet are standing within thy gates, O Jerusalem. We are in the premises again. God has cared for us in these last month and a half almost. But we're in the premises again. Not that any building of itself is holy or emits to us spiritual grace, but because of this place, the place where we come together to meet with God, I'm on the premises. God cared for us through live stream in our home. But we have understood now a fundamental spiritual principle. There's the assembly of the people of God that is so necessary. And so we are excited to be here again. And now we ask, but what then, according to the psalm, according to God's word, is the center attraction in being here? What is the center thing? And the answer in the psalm is very clear, is very direct forward. One name, God. God. Our God. Let us go up to the house of the Lord. It was God. That we might meet with God, with his saints, in this special way. Psalm 122, the house of the Lord was not Solomon's temple, because this is a psalm of David. David's son Solomon was to build the temple, as you remember, but so we know this was Moses' tabernacle that Moses had built, that David had pitched. It was first in Shiloh, during the period of the judges, but then during the reign of David. You remember Psalm 132. David was searching out the place for the house of God, and finally it was revealed to him that it would be Mount Zion. God said to him, Psalm 132, "This is my rest. Here will I dwell." God had revealed that place of worship for all of Israel would now be in Jerusalem. And you remember, he had taken up the Ark of the Covenant and brought it back into the house of the Lord for the first time. David, as a king, had sought to establish worship, organized worship according to the will of God in the tabernacle, with the Ark of the Covenant, with the priests, with the singing of the Psalms, with the people of God coming up to the altar of God. And all of this was because of God, that God would be worshipped. Yes, we're here because we want to see our friends. Yes, we're here because it's a quiet place of meditation for us on the Sabbath morning. But the attraction is God. Is God. David will say in Psalm 42, "As the deer that is heated in the chase, so my soul longs for thee. My soul pains for thee. When shall I come and appear before God?" He says in Psalm 63, "To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen it in the sanctuary." Worship is to come in a special way before God. That's why we're here. His glory and his grace, his work. This is his work, the church of Jesus Christ. This is the place where his word is to shine forth into this world. It is especially in this place, this holy place to us, that we see amazing grace. And so the psalmist said, "I don't need to be drugged. I don't need to be. Dad doesn't need to tell me, if you don't go to church, you can't stay in my house. My dad doesn't need to tell me that. I thirst for God. I don't thirst for dead religion. I don't thirst for human traditions. I thirst for God." And so I'd like to just sum then those reasons why we are glad from the psalm. We're glad because now here we hear the word of God in the assembly. We're glad because here we see the beauty of God. We're glad because here are the people of God. We're glad because here the word of God in the assembly of God's people is to be heard. Look at verse 4. "Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord go up, even the tribes of the Lord unto," then note those words, "unto the testimony of Israel." Unto the testimony. They went up for the testimony. The testimony at times can be referred to the whole Ark of the Covenant, but more specifically, the testimony refers to what was in the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. You remember that in the Ark of the Covenant, you remember, there were the Aaron's blossoming rod, there was the plate of manna, and then there were the testimony of Israel, the two tablets of stone written with the finger of God, the commandments. They came up for the testimony, for the word of God in all of its parts, written by his own finger, the Bible, 66 books, written by the finger of God, is his testimony, his sworn statement of truth. So follow the figure. He's living, Psalm 120, in a world of the strife of tongues, Twitter, and Facebook, and CNN, and arguments, and disputes. And he longs for the testimony to hear, to sit down and hear the testimony, the more sure word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 and following, to which we do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. The living, the abiding word of God, that God wills be in the sanctuary, the testimony of God to be expounded to us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Therefore, it is profitable. And therefore, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them. He leaves us and he prays, sanctify them. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We come for the word of God, to hear it in the assembly, where the Spirit of God has said, where two or three are present, I am in the midst. And where the Spirit of God was here first this morning, before any rows were taped off. Where the Spirit of God, when his church, when we are here, the Spirit of God blows upon our hearts through the word that is preached, and it comforts me. It corrects me. It changes me. It warns me. It teaches me. It pricks me. It enlightens me. Glad? We're glad because we can hear the word of God in the assembly. Maybe someday the blocks will fall down and the rafters will crack. Maybe someday the anti-Christian world will close those doors and forbid us to enter. Maybe in our day, perhaps we'll see that. But may there never be a day where we do not seek to assemble as the church of God under the word of God until Jesus comes. And may God forbid that we become dull, indifferent. The Lord has been good to us in these last weeks, that he would excite us. I was glad that we do not become complacent. And God forbid that we would become falsely critical, fault-finding, listening for little segments of the sermon to pick apart and to build a whole case of heresy upon it. If so, if we come either that way or in dullness, there will be no gladness in the house of God. I was glad. That's why he already, you see why he ends, pray for the peace of Zion. We want to hear the word of God. We want to see God's beauty. Each Sunday we should pray then, as Moses prayed on the mountain, Lord, show me thy glory. What were you made to do? Why did God give you a heart which has desire and passion? Why? God made you, and God gave you a regenerated heart that you might see his glory. And seeing his glory, fall down in perfect peace and satisfaction. Psalm 27, verse 4, David says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." The beauty of the Lord, what is that? The beauty of the Lord is himself. He doesn't need anything to, he needs no mascara. He needs nothing to add to his beauty. He is beauty. It's his attributes. It's his grandeur. It's his splendor. It's his majesty. And especially his beauty. That word beauty means grace. God is beautiful because he is gracious. It's his undeserved favor. And it's his unchangeable love to the lowest of sinners that he has saved. That's what I want to see. That's the only thing that can ever give peace to the heart God has made. I want to see his beauty, his grace. That's why I'm glad. I'm glad to hear the gospel of grace. And finally, God's people. That makes us glad. Whither the tribes of the Lord go up, he says. And so remember, each of these pilgrims in the Old Testament throughout the 12 tribes often would be in desolate places, shepherds and nomads and little villages and little huts and maybe 10 to 15 to 20 to 50 people that they would see. And they would often then be apart from each other for long periods of time as the people of God. And as they were apart from each other, they would be the odd man out. They would often dwell in a land of strife. They would be the guy on the job site who senses God has made something different in me, who might be ridiculed and despised. And now he comes and he sees fellow believers. I don't take this statement, don't interpret politically, but he says, we say this morning, these are my people. These are my people, the people of the Lord who have gathered to bring homage to the Lord. We are not a country club. We are not a cult. We are not a secret society. We are, by God's grace, the body of Christ, joined by grace into one body in Jesus Christ. We were saved to be with each other. May COVID-19 renew our efforts, reaching out, but also reaching in. By reaching in, I mean not waiting for others to reach out, but each one of us reaching in to the church of God. I was glad. For God, his word, his beauty, his people. You note with me in the psalm that prevailing attitude of gladness does give way after the psalmist has been there to another equally strong emotion within him, that the longer he stands within Zion, the more another emotion begins, an attitude begins to come forth in his heart. That attitude is thankfulness. Whither the tribes of the Lord go up to the testimony of Israel, verse 4, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, thankfulness. And you note with me how this thankfulness now will come out. And the thankfulness that he has comes out through observation. Verse 3, Jerusalem is a is built as a city that is compact together. He begins to look at Jerusalem, sees its order. And then he says, verse 5, there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. There was justice being administered in this city. So he's looking around at the Old Testament church of God centered in Jerusalem, and he sees that it's not a bunch of tents, it's not a bunch of hovels, of not laid out city, but it has structure, it is established, it is organized, it is ruled by King David. It is an established city. It provides defense. It functions. It has been established by God's grace. And so we come up to God's house and we see, do we see what we see when we come to church? Do we see what we are seeing? We see the established church, the work of the Lord, the kingdom of Christ, ruled by David's son, Jesus Christ. We see that church prospering. We see that church, by God's grace, busy in the work of the Lord. We see that it is ordered by the Lord with elders and deacons and pastor for the flock. We see marriages of faithfulness. We see children being loved and nurtured by parents whose heart desires and loves them in Christ Jesus. We see aged, and we see the church of God brought together, worshiping together with one voice and edification taking place. We see structure in the kingdom of God, and the result is thankfulness. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that I can be part of that. Not part, I can be of that. Among the company of the redeemed of the Lord, I want to worship. Because as we worship, and this is the assembly again, especially, it's not confined to the assembly. I understand that. God has blessed us over these weeks. But when I come in to worship, I see what God is doing in building the church. And that's why I'm thankful. I know that. You knew that. Over the last 8-10 weeks, you knew God was building his church. I knew that. I'm so thankful now to see it. Not just with this, but with this. This morning. And we're thankful for these reasons. Number one, because it's only by grace that I'm here. It's only by grace that I'm a citizen. Think this morning, where would you be without Jesus Christ? Where would you be this morning? What would be important to you? Where would you be? We'd be drunk after the mayhem in Grand Rapids last night. We'd be having our second sweet roll. We'd be a nice day to do the lawn. Where? Nothing wrong with street rolls, nothing wrong with the lawn, but is that life? On the holy day, is that what it's all about? We'd be lost. We'd be in our sins. We'd be empty. We'd be like everyone else, heading to destruction, and we wouldn't know it. We wouldn't even know it. We wouldn't have a clue, and we wouldn't have a clue that we didn't have a clue. According to the scriptures, we'd be like others, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, without hope in this world, says the apostle, children of wrath, even as others. But to be here, to want to be here. To want to be here is all of grace. We didn't come to do God a favor and come to his house to do him a favor today. We didn't come because we wanted to be a favor, in a wrong sense, human, bless others with our company. But we came because it was by grace. And that grace has brought us to enter the church. And we see here what God has done for our souls. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Thankful for what? Thankful that you're in church. Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise before him, for he is our God. Psalm 147, verse 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Why? The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. We're thankful for his grace that we're here. Number two, we're thankful for God. And now, this is the point. There's one reason especially I'm so thankful to be able to come here to church, in our congregation, in the truth that God has given, that we humbly receive in our denomination. There's one reason especially. Because it's the place that I will be told on Sunday that even if I have nothing, even if I lose all, even if I have cancer, even if I am rejected, even if I am killed for his sake, even if I have nothing, I have everything because I have God. Because he is God and God alone. And I am thankful that he is my God by grace and always will be my God of grace. You say to me, you really mean that? You really mean that, Reverend Hawk? No. Do you really mean that? Just God, that's all? We just need God. That's all. And I respond to you and to me, yes, that's exactly correct. And if you don't think so, then you know what the problem is. We don't know the truth of him. It's not that I don't know the truth of other people's sufferings, and then I would never say that. I don't know the extent of other people's sufferings, and you don't either. We say that because of who he is. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me, and having thee on earth, there is naught that I can desire. And then number three, we are thankful for grace to be here, for God. We're thankful because of the care of the church, and that's what was the point of the Spirit in verse 5, the thrones of judgment, verse 3, the orderliness of Zion. Here we receive the care of Jesus Christ and his church. There's thrones of judgment. Those thrones of judgment now are the elders and the deacons, who lead us according to the word of God, who we have the reign of Jesus Christ, Christ ruling over us through his holy word. We have the protection. We have the communion of fellow believers to encourage us and to help us in our Christian walk. I'm thankful. I come to worship with gladness, and as I worship, I become thankful. And then at last, when the worshiper has come to the house of God, we must come in peace. As I pointed out, we must not only pray for peace, but we must come in peace with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls. A peace that is rooted in a love for the church and a love one for each other in Jesus Christ. That love of Jesus Christ for each other will always promote peace. And that is the way that we can come to worship. We can't come to worship in conflict. We can't come to worship in disruption. We can't come with disturbance, enmity toward brothers and sisters. We can't worship. We can have a worship service, and perhaps the congregation can worship, but I can't. I can't. Because he's the Lord. And so we pray, may it come in peace. There are some who say that this peace that he is praying for is a prayer for international peace. And by that they mean, and the idea is a good idea, it's biblical, that they're praying that there would be peace among the nations, because if Israel must go to war, then the church is not going to be able to worship as she did. You remember World War II, when the Nazis invaded the Netherlands and the church there was not able for years to formally worship as we are this morning. And that's true. We do pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the opening verses, we pray that kings and governors rule properly, that there be peace in the nation, so that we can worship and the church can prosper. So we pray for that today. And we have experienced that through COVID-19 and feel all the unrest which threatens the worship of God. And so we pray for that. And not only have we experienced a concern of the society for civil good, which we support and we submit to, but we have also heard, not just in COVID-19, but we hear the growing contempt of society for Christianity and for the name of God. And we pray for peace. We pray that God will so work that we might have peace, that we may worship. But that's not the meaning here. The meaning here is, as I go to church to worship, may I not find conflict, divisions, grudges, hate, evil speaking, but may there be peace, harmony, unity, forgiveness, love, long-suffering, one with each other. Pray for it. Pray for that, because then the church prospers. If we come in carnality, if we come in foolishness, if we come in self-love into the house of God, the house of God will not prosper. We will bring God's displeasure. And note in verses 6 and 7 the parallelism. The peace and the prosperity. Where there is peace, God commands the blessing. Behold how pleasant, it's like Psalm 133, behold how pleasant and how good when brethren dwell together in unity. Then there is prosperity. So we put it this way this morning. No, we're not talking about peace at any price. We're not talking about peace at the price of silence for truth. We're talking about peace at the highest price. And the highest price is the blood of Jesus Christ. For you and for me.
which was shed, that we be long-suffering, that we think more of the other than of ourselves, that we be clothed in humility, that we go the second mile, that we yield to each other, that we worship in peace. This is motivated for my brethren and my companions' sakes. We will be peacemakers. And it will flow from a gentle heart which has worshiped God. How painful. How painful when we are proud, arrogant, demanding, when we cause, through our carnality, fighting, division, suspicion in the church. No one wants to be there. The young people don't want to be there. But how pleasant is peace and unity. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go up to the house of God." May God, through the trials of COVID-19, have worked in our hearts the renewal of the attitude of worship, gladness, thankfulness, peace, for our good, for His glory. Amen. We thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for worship. Continue to bless. Continue to do Thy work. Continue to prosper. Continue to glorify Thyself. Continue to be our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.